Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Luke 22, verse 35 to 53. Luke 22, 35 to 53. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors,' and I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That's enough," he replied. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." My theme for reflection is when darkness thinks it wins. When darkness thinks it wins. Have you ever thought your phone was charging, only to return later and find it completely dead? You walked away expecting it to be full of power, only to discover it never got connected. That happened to me just the other day. I left my phone plugged into my office desktop overnight, assuming it was charging. But when I picked it up on Sunday morning, I realized the desktop had been switched off, so the phone had not charged at all. It looked connected, but there was no power. That is exactly the picture we get of the disciples in this passage. They believed they were ready, prepared for whatever would come. But when the moment arrived, they were running on empty. The truth is, we are often in the same place, thinking we are spiritually charged, when in reality, we are not as connected to the source as we need to be. Luke 22:35-53 is a sobering mirror held up to our assumptions of preparedness, strength, and loyalty. Jesus, knowing his arrest is near, prepares his disciples for a transition. "But now," he says, "let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack." This is not a call to violence, but a metaphorical wake-up call. The peaceful journey of Galilean ministry is over. The cross is near, and the world is shifting. Yet his followers still don't fully understand. When they respond, "Look, Lord, here are two swords," Jesus simply replies, "It is enough." Many scholars see this not as approval, but resignation, perhaps even disappointment. They still think the battle is external, not spiritual. They are ready to fight Rome, but not their own fears. What follows in Gethsemane is one of the most deeply human and divinely charged scenes in all Scripture. Jesus, knowing the full weight of what awaits him, kneels and prays, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done." The phrase "not my will" is not resignation but resolve, the kind that bleeds through the soul. While Jesus wrestles in anguished prayer, the disciples, invited to watch and pray, doze off. When the soldiers arrive, Judas, one of their own, greets Jesus with a kiss. A symbol of affection becomes an instrument of betrayal. There is no wound like the one inflicted by someone you once walked with. Judas sold Jesus for silver, but sometimes our modern betrayals come even cheaper, over ego, preference, or self-preservation, and they still hurt. In response to Judas's kiss, Jesus does not recoil in anger, but confronts him with heart-wrenching clarity. "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Even in betrayal, Jesus speaks with truth and tenderness. He knows the pain of being wounded not by enemies, but by friends who share your bread. The disciples, still confused, try to fight back. One even slices off a man's ear, but Jesus, steady and surrendered, heals the wound, because that is what he came to do. Even in the chaos, mercy flows. What a savior. Then comes the quiet condemnation. "This is your hour and the power of darkness." It is as if darkness gets its moment, its brief illusion of victory. But make no mistake, this is not defeat. It is surrender with a purpose. Divine will is moving, not despite the betrayal and violence, but mysteriously through it. Karl Rahner once wrote, "In the torment of the crucified Christ, God speaks more intimately to us than in the thunder of Sinai." In this passage, the whispers of Gethsemane, the kiss of betrayal, and the quiet resolve of Jesus shout louder than any display of power. The world's systems clash, imperial, religious, personal, but the will of God flows beneath it all, unbroken. This passage forces us to ask, when have we fallen asleep in crucial moments? When have we trusted in swords over surrender, or betrayed someone in subtle but devastating ways? Lent is a time to face these questions honestly, not with shame, but with repentance and hope. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, have you ever experienced betrayal by someone close to you? How did you respond, and how might Jesus' example shape your healing or forgiveness? Number two, in what ways might you be relying on your own strength, like the disciples' swords, instead of watching and praying with Christ? And now our practical exercise for the day. Spend 10 minutes in silence today. Before you begin, pray, "Not my will but yours be done." Let that be your breath prayer. As thoughts arise, simply return to that line. Use the time to surrender control, confess hidden fears, or grieve any betrayals given or received. Lord Jesus, you chose surrender over struggle, silence over shouting, healing over harm. In the face of betrayal, you remained faithful. When darkness seemed to win, you trusted the Father's will. Help me to lay down my sword, to take away in prayer, to stay awake in prayer, and to follow you into the hard places with courage. Teach me to forgive where I have been wounded and to repent where I have wounded others. In your name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.